Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. You alright, Thangus?
Yeah.
Since you look perky.
Thanks.
Because you weren't that well, were you?
A couple of days was a bit dodgy.
But now, as your holiday gets nearer...
Oh, yes.
You're getting a lot better, aren't
all
you?
All coming together.
Are you looking forward to... Cuba. Que oba little salsa. The first time I saw you, I knew it was love.
It's been in my head on loop for weeks.
Number one. Number one. Yes, you are. Cuba. No, Gav, that's the wrong rhythm. Why are you doing that relentless? It's not even a merengue. It's not just...
I was doing a mix.
It wasn't a mix.
It was a remix.
The Gibson brothers, they put out some sweat, those boys.
Wow.
They really did. They knew how to sweat.
They did, yeah.
The first time I saw you, I knew it was love.
Great video as well.
Like a really cheap-looking
set.
Yeah, and there's the four of them dancing.
The palm tree.
And there's the four of them doing those weird dances. Yeah, I've seen that video.
I've done my prep. I've done my research for Cuba.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, since Cuba's changed since the Gibson brothers. Don't expect the scene to be like that. No,
really? You're
not, it's not going to happen.
Forget about the Gibson brothers.
Yeah, they left them. They've gone now. They're dead to me.
What did they ever do for us?
I kill his cockroach. Anyway, let's focus up. This is what's coming up on your podcast this week. They're the scourge of the seaside. Who, the Gibson brothers? No. They're the bandits of the beachfront, the predators of the promenade. I've got all your latest seagull news, some big seagull news, Aguan this week. We've got play your match day mascots, right? Which is interesting, seeing its most expensive mascots. Turns out Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, it's free to be a mascot. Yeah. West Ham, they charge £700. I think that says it all. And build a cabinet of old school cures for retro afflictions. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Gav, did you have a good weekend?
I had a lovely weekend, thank you.
Did you do anything constructive?
Not at all, no.
Nothing?
No, nothing at all. I just watched football, played with my kids, just usual stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sons, did you do anything constructive at all, domestically? I mean, any you fix anything? Do you even change a light bulb?
I did fix something.
What did you fix?
I haven't finished yet.
That's better.
I took the wooden door off the front of my built-in dishwasher, which had started flapping away.
Hang on a second. You mean the outer door?
Yes, like a built-in one, but the door's attached to it. I had to take it off because it was falling off.
Because you've only just had that kitchen done.
I only just had it done, but the screw they'd used wasn't long enough, so I've had to now refill the screws. It's drying. The glue is drying.
Okay,
I'll refit it tonight.
What glue are you going for there?
I went for your usual white wood glue.
Did you?
Yeah, but you have to leave it ages.
What, the Evo stick, white wood
just,
glue?
Yeah, tight bond or whatever.
I worry that's not going to be strong enough because they tend to be quite heavy.
Shoved a dowel in there. I filled it in properly.
Okay. Well, keep us posted about that.
I will, yeah.
If you can get any
I'll
photographs.
Let you know, Could be a few days yet.
I know, I'd love to see that. And I'm probably speaking for Sunta as well.
Sure.
Sunta, what have you had? What, did you do anything at all like that over the weekend?
Not really.
Put a bit wooden dowel in there with some wood glue, wait for it to dry.
The lid had blown off my barbecue outside, so I had to go out and put that back on.
That lid blows off barbecue, that is more interesting than what I've got here.
Okay. Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
I only say this because I'm looking for some of your dull property news or anything around your estates. Are you ready?
Mm.
Go on.
This is in the paper. It's in the Times.
Okay.
I want to bring that music down a little bit just to heighten the drama of this. Thanks. A listed mansion that was built in 1719 for Edward Southall.
Yeah. The goalkeeper.
There we go. No, that's South Hall. This is Southwell.
Okay.
Has been turned into a house share.
You're joking.
No, Norman Routledge bought King's Weston House in Bristol for $350,000 in 2012.
Uh-huh.
It's now home to 19 residents, including three children.
That is unbelievable. In its dullness.
No, he says he told BBC One's Inside Out West. He said that. Wow. So let's just go through that again.
Made its way to a national newspaper.
No, a listed mansion. No, it must be one of these people must live there or something. They just
get it.
I don't know. A listed mansion built in 1719 for Edward Southwell, Secretary of State for Ireland.
Yeah.
Which is bigger, probably.
Mm.
And it's been turned into a house share.
I thought if it was listed, you're not supposed to do things like that.
I don't know. They're just all living in there.
That's weird.
No, they're not busting at all. They're not.
Yeah.
He says... I don't know, Gav. Norman Routledge bought King's Weston House in Bristol for $350,000 in 2012. Yep. It's now home to 19 residents.
It is a beautiful looking house.
That's like a nice little deal for someone.
I'd like to see a picture of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fleshed this story out.
If anyone's got anything on this to say why that's in the papers, the fact that a large house now has 19 people living, including three kids.
What is the interest?
I don't know.
They're all strangers, so they're all house sharing. It's not like it's made into flats.
They're house
sharing. So that happens in a lot of hotels.
It's like a hotel.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, it's still not that interesting.
No, it's not interesting. I just was clarifying it.
Sure.
Why did you find it? No, because you found yourself rising to its defence.
I did a little.
Anyway, the point is 83936. Please, anything you might have had someone just move into your flat or
any other bombshells?
Seriously, if you've got anything really dull around your house, 83936, you might have just over the weekend, you might have bought a new sort of plastic bowl to go there for washing up.
Yep.
Or
a new cover for the car or something. Yeah.
If that's national news in the Times, you know, I've lowered the bar, then, you know, all I'm saying to you is beat that. Here's one for you. Chris in Glasgow. I bought black toilet paper. I'm too scared to use it. Thank you very much, Chris. Gav, perhaps you might want to tell us the big story from Rich in Essex. This is
hot news from Essex. Rich says, I bought some cheap rubber mats for the car footwells. They don't fit very well.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, that.
You'll get that, Rich.
I've done that. Yeah. You're going to get that. I've had that, but you're going to get that.
You're going to get it.
Sure. So, what do you got?
Brian Griffin, who's also known as Captain Underpants, says that he replaced a light bulb in the downstairs loo on Sunday.
Good work. I've got to do two, actually. Both have gone in the hallway.
Annoying.
Yeah, no, but up and down.
But you've got high ceiling there. You're going to need something tall to get up.
I'm fine, Gav. I've got the step ladders for the job.
Cool.
I've got the
ladders
for the job. Don't worry about that one. In fact, it should be in the papers, actually. That's actually quite interesting.
That should be in the news.
Yeah, DJ has ladders for job. despite living in an 1840s Grade 2 listed flat. Here's one for you. This weekend, I bought some magnetic tool holder strips for my garage. That's Jack from Blackpool, who doesn't have a garage.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Jack.
Yeah.
Nice. Good money well spent.
Daryl in Ipswich just had a new garage door fitted. He does have a garage.
Now, can I just say, that's too much almost.
That's almost a bit racy, isn't it?
It's almost a bit racy for this. It really is, Cap. Sorry, just to repeat what you said. Sun's, you got something there?
Nat in Bristol.
Interesting rabbit story here.
Nat in Bristol had to buy a new rubber seal for the plug in her bathroom sink.
Wow.
That's staggering, that one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Action. Mind you.
That's front page stuff.
Mind you, leaves a lot of questions.
It does.
Gender of Nat.
That's it. That's the only question.
Here's one for you. I moved the rabbit cage outside this weekend. That's from Tenacious P. Let's maybe spare a thought for Steve. This is, for me, the big one.
Yep. Yeah.
Steve's done his first online food shop.
Wow.
Well done, Steve.
That's a real moment.
Keep coming, please.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing. Radio X.
Britain's potholes can be seen from space, according to the Daily Star.
They're that big. They're that bad.
Yeah, it's amazing that this show, we do a late trawl through the papers, because I'd love giving you kind of stories that are what I call lukewarm. They're not the hot stories.
Yeah, they're not hot off the press.
They're basically what the news department and LBC leaves.
The leavings.
That's all it is. That's all I do. I just go through this pile of cut-up newspapers where they've seemingly taken everything interesting and relevant out. And I just get left with this, you know.
The tailings. They call it in gold mining, don't they?
The tailings, yes.
The stuff that's got nothing left in it.
Right. Britain's potholes can be seen from space, according to the Star.
Right.
The rotten state of our road network has been captured by satellites orbiting 450 miles above the ground, Gav.
Wow.
One Google Earth image shows a pitted road surface at a junction in Glasgow. Zooming into street level can reveal one of the hubcaps lost by vehicles. See, for me, the story here is, you can see the Daily Star from space pretty well. I mean, once you start getting to the fact you can even see a hubcap in Glasgow.
Yeah, it's not the pothole, it's the camera.
Yes, but we've got so many potholes, they literally are our Great Wall of China. You know, that's not the story here.
Yeah, it's not a wonder of the world.
The story is, what else can Google see from space?
Yeah, good point. They can read over your shoulder. Yeah,
again,
probably,
Gav, I've got to tell you, Gav, it's another meeting I've missed.
That's
say,
right.
Say, no, give a website the power just to zoom in on my hubcaps.
Yeah. They can zoom in on you and just look at you.
No, but what gets me is, if this is the case, then can't they do something useful like look for tiles that are out and tell you.
That's a great point.
Isn't there a thing where you can just say to Google, can you check my roof, please?
Lead on church roofs, things like that.
Well, no, because I don't own a church.
Not anymore. You've got rid of it.
No, I've got rid of it. I don't need to know about lead on church roofs.
Okay.
But my own tiles, that's quite a relevant thing.
Uh-huh.
So just, could you, is there a Google scan thing? Loads of people need stuff from above. Can you have a look at that? Or, I don't know, see if my neighbours have moved a wall. A little bit overnight. No, it's about that last week.
People need stuff from above.
No, we do need stuff from above. Thank you, Ken.
It's true. It's true, yeah.
You know, is that, is anything moved around the house? You might want to compare it. You know, foundations and stuff. Anyway, campaigners have criticised the state of our roads and the variations in payouts for damage to cars caused by them. Scott Dixon, author of The Consumer Guide. This is something I expect a little sign. He must be some kind of icon to you. Because he's author of a consumer guide that's called How to Complain. Oh, man. No, come over, Scott. It'd be great to have you here.
It'd be a great night.
He says, we know compensation to drivers for pothole damage is significantly lower than 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Glasgow's record in comparisons with other councils is abysmal.
Is he touring at the moment with that material?
Yeah, I hope he's. I hope he is, Gav, because motorists had a 5% chance of winning a pothole claim, and that's unacceptable. I urge every road user to submit robust claims and gather evidence.
Think on.
Think on. Thank you very much for that, Scott. Anyway, Gav, the point about the stories, which you pointed out to me,
yeah,
is it's not that you can see anything from space.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Daily Star just loves them at the moment.
Because it's a pothole.
Well, because the potholes are so enormous, they're like meteorites. Literally.
The seventh wonder of the world.
For a second, I thought it was a gravel pit. Radio X. So here's the deal here. This is a new craze. You know the county lines thing? Mm.
Yes.
Before long, kids, they grow up so fast these days. Mm. They've already now cut to. They've been through all the drugs phases. They've been through drugs. They've been through booze. They've done that. Yeah. Get this. You know what they're on to now?
What?
It is a company that traces its roots to 1829 and the birth of George Burton, a Blackpool boy, who, destiny decreed, would bake the biscuits that fed the British tea time, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
But today, a new generation of children in the town are equally determined to get their hands on biscuits, and they've been breaking the law.
You're
Burton's
kidding.
Biscuits, which makes fig rolls, wagon wheels, jammy dodgers. I was talking about athlete's foot earlier.
Yeah.
My God, this look, wagon wheels are even more they're even more 70s than athlete's foot.
They really are, yeah. I remember the ads.
Yeah, they're like chilblains in biscuit. So are jammy dodgers, right? Wow, 70s. Anyway, they've been attacking, children have been attacking its factory and stealing biscuits to sell to their friends. I told you.
Oh, and then selling them on.
They've cut to the whole pensioner game already.
They're fencing biscuits.
Yeah, exactly.
In
right.
my head, they're all dressed like street urchins.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want to
Oliver Twist style. Yeah.
They'll be having a nip of gin. Children caught in...
There'll be someone with a really long coat with loads of biscuits inside the coat.
Underground gin shops selling tea. But it's just cutting to the pensioner pleasure, though. They can't be doing this now.
Yeah, why? There's something else going on.
They've probably got single loads baggies with just one jam donut in. Yeah. One jammy dodger.
Yeah. Psst. Those little brown bags. The little white ones.
Do you know if Steve's knocking out any fig rolls? Go on, then he's in the cars.
Has he got any donuts?
Has he got any?
Are they jam?
He's got
Are they jam donuts?
I heard he had some... police will think it's code.
They will, yeah.
Yeah, you got
really
any jam... No, we're sorry, mate. We're out of jammy dodgers.
Are they moving these biscuits across county lines?
Moving. I like that, Gav. Moving.
Are they trafficking these biscuits?
I don't know, Gav. They've got, a tunnel? Yeah. The company's got to... People wearing just literally packs of biscuits strapped to them.
Around their stomachs,
going to stations. Like Midnight Express.
Who's the El Chapo of the biscuit trafficking world?
Well, yeah, El Kiddo.
Yeah.
Get this. The company has set it spending $30,000 on extra measures after break-ins by organised children.
Wow.
Up to three times a week. They've got extra guards. The kids in Blackpool are so crazy for the biscuits.
The organised
The Blackpool cartel.
I love the idea. They're in someone's bedroom and they've got big plans out and they're drawing
definitely.
A bank job now.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
They're organised.
Yeah.
At the beginning, making off in those Brio big toy trucks.
Yes.
The police pursuing them in the pedal vehicles. At the beginning, it was just two or three children. Now it's coming up to 50 children at a time.
That is a cartel.
Attacking.
That's an army.
That's an army, yeah.
It is. Are they all in Toyota Hiluxes?
I don't know. I don't know. The biscuit raiders have been coming all times of the day till about 3 a.m.
What?
We put an 8-foot-high fence and they just jump over it. What? Kids go over an 8-foot fence?
That's mad.
That's Britain's high jump hope.
What they need is about 6 angry mums on night guard duty.
Pensioners.
Yeah, angry pensioners.
You want my biscuits, you prize them out of my cold, dead hands.
Have a go, you little bleeders.
Like Charlton Heston with guns. He said children also ran through the main gates when they were open to let in delivery vehicles. Stolen stock was sold by a cemetery or simply discarded. They know where they're going to find pensioners, don't they?
He'll
be up at the cemetery.
Oh, I'll be up there, yeah.
She'll be up at the cemetery. She's still mourning her Albert. Psst. We'll buy some biscuits.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
So I'm sitting in front of the TV last night.
Yeah.
And suddenly my foot is just like really itching. I'm like mad. So I rip off my sock.
Sure.
And
ankle scratching can go on for
hours. No, it's not ankle scratch. Between it's in the traditional cleft where I used to have athlete's foot as a lad.
Okay, yeah.
I spent a lot of time in the locker room. Well, that was when I was
really 70s
ailment. That was when I was just known as locker room. Yeah?
Sure.
Before I became TJ.
Sure.
Well, no, because you could always find me toweling off some muscle group.
Sure.
Oh, locker room. Everybody's going to bang the locker doors. Nice guy like that. Whoa.
And you just towel away.
You know it!
Yeah.
Like that.
Not many people get cheered on when they're toweling.
I do.
Exactly.
I do, just because you can really, it's just a really good time. You can look off and also if you twist the towel and go like that, it's a really good way of showing off the trapezius muscles. Anyway, the point is, Kev.
Go on.
I can actually turn that into quite a show.
Sure.
And I know I don't want to tease you all out.
You always finish with a bit of flicking, don't you?
It's not a show you can get. It come for free. Not with locker room.
So you had an itchy foot. You had an itchy foot.
Yeah, so I had this itchy foot. I started scratching. I thought, where have I known this bliss before? Of scratching between. I thought, I had my finger right between. I realised, athlete's foot has returned.
No.
To the famous cleft.
You're kidding.
Where it lived for so many years. Yeah. It was like an advanced strain my dad brought back from a squash club or sailing club or some middle class place. And it was a really hardy strain. And I shook it off after years. I thought, it's back. How is it back?
How does it get back?
I tell you, I worked it out. I narrowed it down. I was thinking, well, it can't be from my, it can't be from where I go for a, it's not the gym.
No.
Yeah?
Sure.
I haven't picked it up from a sauna, steam room, nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Mm.
And so I'm trying to, and I realised over the whole week, I thought, what have I done? I thought, I did have sweaty, itchy feet over the weekend. I thought, you know what? I've got a pair of Crocs I wear around the house.
Sure.
No, wait, just because they're easy if I need to go outside and smoke. Because you know when smoking, the fact is I go outside, they're having a fag in.
They're your house Crocs.
My house Crocs. We're taking the rubbish out.
Sure.
Just said, no, it's not, this isn't a sure situation. Sure. So don't shore me off for this.
I know you're a big Crocs fan.
I am, yeah, I like them, yeah. You're right. I think they're stylish. And actually, and a lot of people from the worlds of drill. And
extreme sports performance.
Trap.
Yeah.
Are really getting into that. In fact, you can buy, I think, who is it? Tyler, the Creator's got his own, like...
Croc line.
Yeah, Craps.
Wow.
They're called Crap.
Wow.
So, anyway, so I went down to the chemist to try and just sort of think, now what do I used to use to clear this up? Because this is now agony.
It'll be something with an old name like Mrs. Picklewick's ointment.
No, it's micelle. No, Gav, this is
micelle,
my point. This is my point, Gav. You go to a section of the chemist, you think, Christ, this hasn't moved on. It's like the museum section of old products. It's extraordinary. Athlete's foot technology. It just hasn't, you know. It's like going to an old-fashioned shop selling muskets. This is how you deal with this. It's still the same selection of powders, vague creams, and like, you know, advice they'll give you. Just make sure you keep it dry.
Yeah.
Always dry between your toes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wonder about 83936, please. If you've got a retro condition that started up recently, and
I did have one a couple of years ago.
What'd you get?
I had a verruca, and I went to my doctor, and he prescribed. You have to get it prescription.
Yeah,
but it's a really old. Well, it's Pickles ointment for verrucas.
Oh man,
it's 50% of that salicylic acid that you get about 2% of it in the normal verruca.
When I had a verruca the size of 50p, again back in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember him slicing the top of the verruca off. And he had one of those round little. He had one of those round pads.
Oh yeah? Man,
that, you know, it's like looks like a Polo mint. They
this
put
is
it on
beautiful
top.
Radio.
And then he poured the acid in.
Oh,
a little plume of smoke.
A little came Vesuvio. Off.
Yeah, but the point is, oh no, no. Shall I just tell you, it was bliss.
Was it?
It's, yeah, it's like when you push a wobbly tooth when you're a kid with your tongue. Man, yeah. You just push it and you get that. Oh, that's good. Well, stop doing it then. It's just like slightly. I'll tell you another 70s affliction. Go mouth on. Ulcers.
Definitely.
That's a retro one, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, please, retro condition. Retro cure, and does it still work, or is there an improvement that I should be getting into now? What's the latest? What's on the cutting foot, the leading foot? I wasn't really expecting such an enthusiastic response. This has been it's been quite extraordinary for our alternative medicine.
Been loads of great
no, but you
ones.
Know, it's alternative medicine. You've got like proper medicine. This is like an over-the-counter medicine slot. we're really building up a good cupboard here. Someone's just asked me at the very top of this, where do you stand on talc, John? This is after I've become re-afflicted with athlete's foot, which still at least means that in your day, you get one good moment guaranteed.
Of the scratch.
Oh, yeah. You get that
it
soccer.
It's bliss. Yeah,
oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Means I am going to get a really, really good experience today. Definitely. There's very few pleasures to rival it. Where do I stand on talc? Always keep a bit of imperial leather around the place. I prefer this Italian talc, though. It's in a sort of green thing. It's really old school.
Right.
And it's just very good. You just had a shave around the collar. It's quite good. And also good, you know, around your parts. Back in the 1970s, if I sat too close to the gas fire, my mum would say, you'll get chilblains. I thought it was made up. Hey, guess what? At the age of 50, I've got chilblains on my foot. It's bloody painful, says Sharon. Nice one, Sharon. God, you're old school. Chilblains, man. That's really old school.
Really old school.
What you got there, Gav?
Ginge in Allenton says, I regularly suffer terrible scurvy, but that's because I'm a fussy eater. Yellow and orange skittles seem to hold it back, he says.
Yeah, that'll do that. Sons, what you got?
Yeah.
Keith in Wales says, my mum always uses witch hazel on everything.
That's brilliant.
Bruise, headache, broken leg, witch hazel.
Right, so far we've got micellar powder. Now we've got witch hazel.
Witch hazel,
Sty in the eye, rub a copper coin on pants till hot.
Then stick
on trousers, on your trousers.
On your trousers. Then stick that boiling hot, dirty coin in your eye. Actually, just rub a bit of gold on it.
I thought it was gold,
It was gold, but this is Manchester. Oh. All right. Obviously, no one had a bit of gold, so just rub a coin there and a copper. Like, oh, go on. What you got there, Kev?
Number ending 749, just simply mum spit. That's the cure to
mum
all
spit.
Illnesses.
It's a shame there isn't a chemist that does mum spit.
Well, and also, you want the mum to use a hanky.
Yeah. You should get a big...
You don't want her to just spit in your face.
You should be able to get those in like one of those bags that keeps it moist. Just a handkerchief soaked in mum's spit. No, you
well, they should sell bottles of it.
Mum's spit. It's called mum's spit.
A little applicator under the lid.
Maybe with a Z, maybe. Mum's spits.
Yeah.
Just to make it look at spit.
Oh, you'll sell millions.
You'd sell loads of that, especially if you synthesise it chemically.
Yeah.
Tiger balm, Johnny. That's going straight in there. Vic is always in there as well. My mum always insists just stick a key on your back for a nosebleed.
I've never tried it.
Go on, what else we got? Warm salt water, Johnny, soak your feet. The itchy fungus can't handle the briny solution. It'd be what sailors would have used. Arr. Thank you very much indeed, Pete. And also, my mother, 92. Oh, man, you're going to love this, guys. Hydrogen peroxide on everything. She says it fizzes out the poison, don't you know? That's cheers from Si. Radio X. We're ready for this, guys. You're not going to believe this.
What?
Well, I'm going to talk to you now about the scourge of the seaside.
The gull.
You know it, Gav.
Wow.
How did you know I was going to say that?
That is the scourge of the seaside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The pensioner.
The menace of the beer garden.
Is there a pensioner gull?
There must be, there must be one.
A pensioner tern.
Because they target pensioners for their
There
tips.
Should be a pensioner. Yeah, they are. It's a pensioner
They're
gull.
They're easy pickings. Yeah.
And that's what they prey on. And there'll become a time, that's it. That's it. They know what they want. They wait outside old people's homes. Like the bird, just for pensions.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly you see, literally, and pensions start to flock.
Definitely.
For protection. So they come along and you just hear, yep. Sons, if you'd like to join in the pension noise, we just want to get a bit of a flock together.
Pensioner flock.
I'm forming a flock of pensions and...
Lie down the way, will you?
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Anyway, that pensioner noise.
will bring a flock above them.
No, yeah. It's a defensive. So seagulls, I think we better not. That's a flock of something else.
They're organised pensioners. Yeah.
They work in the convoy system.
Sure.
As opposed to being picked off like lone numbers. Wolves.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're the scourge of the seaside, the bandits of the beachfront. Excuse Rhys Blakely's appalling alliteration.
The bandits of the beach.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The scourge of the seaside. The bandits of the beachfront. Should have gone with the third there.
He had to if he was going to go that
he
far.
He should do.
Yeah.
But scientists have gleaned an insight into why seagulls are drawn to stealing holidaymakers' chips. They actively prefer food that's been handled by humans.
What?
And it's the fact that humans have handled them that makes them choose that food.
It's wow. Like we're their tasters.
No wonder they love chips.
It's
yeah.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But actually, if you think about it, it's true. That there's no seagull smiles, but there's just suddenly loads round one fishing boat, like 40 miles out. You're thinking, what were you all doing out here?
That's right, yeah. Where did you come from?
Yeah.
How did you know?
I'm glad you're giving me a good yeah there. It's like you genuinely hadn't thought of it.
I mean,
you look miles. It looks like your head's in Cuba. But I'm genuinely thinking about it, John. Thought bubble.
Yeah.
And two more of those, please. And two more of those, please. Juan, make them large.
Seagulls like chips.
Yeah. Seagulls like chips. Yep. Nod. Goes back to Cuba. Yep.
The coastal cads.
The coastal cads, yeah. Anyway, researchers from Exeter University's Penryn campus in Cornwall presented herring gulls in several Cornish towns with two identical flapjacks. Okay, honestly, this sort of research.
It's nuts.
Yes.
It's quite anecdotal, isn't it?
Is that sort of what makes, what doesn't kill them makes them stronger, but it's just what they get a taste for, they just want to eat.
They eat more of
it. It's not really a... Anyway, two identical flapjacks, one of which the gulls had seen in a person's hand. Of the 38 gulls that were tested, 24 pecked at the flapjack, at one of these flapjacks, and 19 of these, nearly 80%, chose the ones that had been handled. So overwhelmingly...
We're taste testers for seagulls.
We're just warming it up slightly. See, it's more of a sort of very low-rent ovens.
Chef de Rang.
Yeah.
We're that guy that makes the crepes by the table.
Yes, yeah, exactly right. The birds are kleptoparasites. Great name for a band.
Yeah, Great name for a band.
And also, do you know what I like about the word kleptoparasite?
What?
It's a long time. Well, because parasites don't particularly ask permission.
No, they just move in.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Well, there's a tapeworm, John.
Yeah.
Do you mind? Do you mind, mate? I'm just going to go and just probably get food out of your intestine tract using osmosis.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I do a bit of osmosis?
Oh, you are so nicely. Go ahead.
Down below, if
the
you will.
The more the merrier. Jump aboard.
We might be getting bigger down there. Oh, yeah, right. Threadworm. Don't ask, because they tumble into a dog, do they?
Oh, my God. Another good name for a band, though.
Good name for a band. Cockroaches. They're not particularly like... Is it like if we hang out here, is it?
Under your fridge.
Is it like if I just go under the dresser?
Why they watch?
I'd rather like it here.
Why the cockroaches work?
I don't know. I'd have to do something quickly. Oh, hello there. No, it's just me and a lot of cockroaches, see? We're up here from Swansea. We were at a curry house there in Swansea, innit? It's great, this. Anyway, but cockroaches don't ask for permission, do they?
No,
they don't.
As we've just learned from our Welsh friends.
We did.
Rats.
Yeah. Ants.
All right, mate. No, it's about nine of us. There's nine of us down here. Do you mind if we all...
You got any biscuits?
Don't worry, you won't see us. You'll only see the mice. You'll never see us. Like, we're a bit more... We're a bit classy than that. Do you get me? But listen, if me and the boys are down there, if you need any favours, you know, we're really grateful. I mean, we're parasites, yeah, but we ain't thieves.
We ain't
like them seagulls. I ain't a klepto parasite. I'll tell you that right for nothing. Not like them seagulls. They'll nick anything.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Every single day, the Woodman furnishes with a hero. Today, it's not Frank Lampard.
No, it's not Frank Lampard.
Who would? He decided to wear red last night.
What?
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
you're joking.
Yeah. Why not just dress as an opposition, see the effect it has on your players?
I didn't realise he did.
I love
that.
Frank, but come on, guys.
I mean, what's he doing?
And the more you go, oh, I hadn't even thought about it. I'm thinking, oh, it's a bad omen. You know how superstitious footballers are.
Yeah.
What are you, nuts? He turned up in red, Gaff.
That's insane. I didn't know he'd done
that. Well, of course, you can't win a game against the red team if your manager turns up in their kit.
You can't do that, no.
Go on.
Okay, so the hero, Johnny, is a man called Nick Minogue. He is 60 years
old. Oh, mate, any relation?
No, unfortunately,
no. Sounds like a... Is he a bloody joker?
He is, I'd imagine.
He must be a bloody joker.
Well, he's 60 years old and he's a keen surfer. He's
a definite joker.
He's from Auckland in New Zealand.
And
he was surfing last Saturday morning about 300 metres off Pauanui Beach. I think I've said that right.
Meters.
On the Coromandel Peninsula on the North Island of New Zealand.
This is in New Zealand.
That's right.
Okay.
So on Saturday morning when he was attacked by a great white shark.
He was attacked. Yeah.
This is what he said. He said, I felt the bang as the shark hit me.
Bang.
As the shark hit me and it came up on my left-hand side.
Loft.
And hit my forearm and elbow.
That's that's getting a bit Australian, but still, you just got to insert a yo.
Yeah, that's right. And then he said the shark took a second bite, clamping itself onto the front of his board.
Oh, God.
And then he said...
I didn't think you were going to say board then. I thought you were going to say something completely different.
No,
it starts board.
No.
It's really painful.
Then he said, I'd heard, and apparently not from Sunta, even though this is her advice for shark attacks.
Pug in the eye.
I'd heard that they don't like being punched in the eye or the nose or the head. So
don't tell me. He went for fire.
No. That's your method.
Always fire.
So he said, so I went to punch it in the eye. It was the most vulnerable and soft target I could reach.
Target?
And he also shouted, clear off, but in a much more sweary way.
Did he?
A couple of times as he punched the eye.
Wow, man.
And it did. So he managed to paddle back to the shore, and apart from a cut on his arm and some tooth holes in his wetsuit, he was fine.
So all in all, you could say, as they say in New Zealand, very good TikToks.
Great TikToks against a great white.
Great TikToks. TikToks. Otherwise, he could have been fish and chips.
That's right. Apparently, the shark has a massive black eye.
I'd love to see that. Just a bit closed up.
Or a shark with an eye patch. That'd be really
hard. Walking around going, no, it's just because she loves me.
And the last thing he said was, he goes, I've still got an arm and fingers. It could have been a lot worse. I've got a surfing trip planned for Dunedin next week. I'll have to take another board.
How about that?
Very pragmatic.
Yeah, that's so pragmatic.
It's so
not as pragmatic
Kiwi.
As the Polish people. They're the most pragmatic people on earth, but quite pragmatic.
Either way, we should salute him. Nick Minogue.
Nick Minogue. He nearly had his chops, but he survived.
He did.
Yeah, good TikToks.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I've got a really good monkey on the run story for you. You know, I love it when monkeys do a freedom bid. I love it.
Definitely.
Literally, when I read this paper this morning, I was reading this, I was just thinking, please don't nick LBC or Sunta put it in the news, because I love a monkey on the run story. If you want to see me excited, then a monkey makes
making a dash for freedom.
Oh, futile bids for... any futile bid for freedom I really like. But if they manage to go a few days... Like there was those giraffes the other day, tragically it died. There was an elephant on the run, hid in a pond we had, in having a go, cracking away.
Yes.
A baboon on his way to have a vasectomy. Yeah, that's when he's made his freedom bid. He's on his way for a vasectomy in South Africa. Sorry, Australia.
Right.
But also, he had two of his ladies with him, just to keep him calm for the journey. Baboons can get really fired. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Do you reckon they told him what was about to happen?
I think there was a careless whisper, Gavin.
Yeah.
The baboons were on their way to the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital, whose patients are more usually human, during the evening rush hour when they made a dash for freedom. All three of them. Come on, girls. Come on,
let's
girls.
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here, girls. Head for the bush, huh? Anyway, the New South Wales Health Minister, guess what his name is, Gav? Brad Hazard. It's like a TV character.
Oh,
come on.
It's awesome.
He's in charge of health and he's called Brad Hazard.
Brad, is his nickname Health?
Oh, no. Yeah, I bet.
I want to see them on the run.
I've spoken to bloody old Health Hazard over there.
Yeah, old Healthy. Healtho.
Yeah, Hazard. Anyway, he said that the 15-year-old male about to undergo surgery, the two girls came, effectively his wives, to keep him company while he's had his vasectomy.
It's pretty much a harem, isn't it?
Videos on social media show the animals wandering past back gas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm six floors up and I was just having a gaze out at the car park and there were three baboons, one caller told a local radio station. I'm dead set serious. They even had great big shiny red bums. Yeah, right. I think they've got to have that. Haven't you? It's not a proper...
That's the... Yeah,
it's not a monkey on the run story. You've got a great big red ass. Get this. Go on. Spokesman for the New South Wales Police advised people to avoid the area, said there'd be no immediate danger to the public. Police confirmed the animals were recaptured after being on the loose for about an hour. And the mail, sadly, had to be destroyed.
Oh, no.
But I'm joking.
What, the whole newspaper?
Oh, very good. They're fine. It doesn't say, though, whether that vasectomy went ahead.
Right.
I would ask, can we have an update for that? But it just seems a bit odd.
We need an update.
Have we got a text in? Go, definitely, definitely had it done. I don't know, a picture of someone smiling with some new cufflinks.
Oh, no.
I was just admiring your cufflinks, mate. Yeah, they're balloon nets.
Yeah.
Do you like them? Fresh.
I've had them preserved.
I've had them preserved, mate.
In aspic.
Had them all varnished up.
Polished.
Yeah, exactly. Polished. Looked like bloody antiquated walnuts. Radio X. When I was a kid, there used to be one lucky... always sent slightly spoilt child, who was the match day mascot, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
My favourite ever was a kid called Josh. He was the guy who... who did that gesture, the handshake gesture, to Jamie Carragher for the Chelsea-Liverpool game.
Okay, right.
And earned himself a place in Chelsea folklore. He's now a man, that kid. Yeah. I bump into him occasionally. But get this. Now, each team has 11 mascots.
Really?
Yeah, there's 22 matchday mascots. Every player has one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's got ridiculous. You know why? It is an industry. It is a match day mascot industry.
Mm. Mascot revenue this year.
It's another bit of revenue for the clubs. I was staggered.
I didn't even know that. I always thought it was charity.
No, it's a
charity thing.
Why did you say it in that ridiculous voice?
Charity.
No, you just went really suburban. You suddenly went, I always thought it was charity.
I really did, John.
You went very Surrey.
I always assumed it was charity.
I thought it was charity.
Charity.
Anyway, guys.
Yeah.
Let's play our most expensive premium. Let's play our mascots right. Are you ready? So it's heads or tails.
Tails, please.
It is tails. Do you want to go first or second?
First, please.
Okay, we're going to start off with Leicester City.
Right.
Leicester City. I can tell you now. You pay £355 per mascot.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
I know.
What?
It is an industry.
What?
That's a load of money.
Well, we could totally not. During this, hopefully, little Simon's going to have a little look and tell us how much that means clubs are earning every year.
Does the goalie have one as well?
Yes, all 11 players.
11 of them.
Yeah, wow. They're all dressed in identical kits. You get the whole package. So, that's £355. But, Sons, do you think... a Wolves mascot is higher or lower? It costs more or less?
Ooh, lower.
No. No. We're going to need that because it's not really much of an item. I'm going to tell you. It's very reliant on sound effects. Do play this in your vans, your cars, your clubs.
Your cafe bars.
So that's Wolves. So yeah, Wolves is £450.
Wow.
But do you think Norwich and Aston Villa are more or less expensive than Wolves at £450, Woodman?
I think Norwich and Aston Villa are not as expensive as Wolves. I think they're cheaper.
You're wrong, Gav.
What?
They're more expensive.
I'm seeing,
what?
It seems smaller clubs are getting more money from
Norwich,
their mascots.
That's not a rule at all.
Oh.
I don't know what governs it. That's what this is. We are entering the realms of the fantastically random.
Hey, brilliant.
You look at this and you think, who can know why
we've
it's
got
more
no
expensive?
Chance of getting this right.
No, you might do. It's back with you. We're at Norwich and Aston Villa. Okay. That's £500 per kid.
Wow.
Per kid.
Wow.
You've got 10 kids. Before you got the goalkeeper, you're at £5,000 in the lineup.
Oh.
With the goalkeeper, that's £5,500.
That's a tidy
package. That's
£5,500.
But both sides,
yes.
Both sides, remember, you're paying for that as well. You're looking now £11,000 with a mascot.
Wow.
That's like one decent player's wages.
It is.
It's £11,000 a week. That'll get you a defender at like West Brom.
Those kids are ruining the club's chances.
They're ruining the game. Anyway, so we're at Norwich and Villa. Right, yes. But do you think Burnley, Gav, are we with you? Yes.
No.
Back with Suds.
Yeah.
Do we think Burnley is more or less expensive than Norwich and Aston Villa, which is £500?
Less.
It is cheaper. Oh. Well done. It's got the whiff of cheapness around it. Not even Burnley could up it that much. And I'm surprised they get on to fork out this, frankly. They must have had every fan. They must have men going out there.
Although their commercial department's getting shouted at now once everyone's seen the prices.
You've got to be a right dad's lad to support Burnley.
Yeah.
My God, you've got to be a dad's lad.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one, if you haven't been taken in by like United and Liverpool up there, yeah, and you're still Burnley. The,
proper fans.
That's a good kid.
Yeah.
He's a dad's lad. He's a dad's lad. Right, anyway. But, so do you think Brighton is more or less expensive than Burnley?
Less.
You're wrong, son. Oh. I hate to say it. Brighton's more expensive, £350. Gav,
go on.
Palace, Crystal Palace, higher or lower than Brighton?
I think Palace, maybe because of the higher prices of being in London, are higher.
You're absolutely right, Gav. They are higher. Go on. Right, we're with Crystal Palace. Do you think Sheffield United, higher or lower?
Lower.
It is lower. Well done, Gav. You're getting a bit of a roll together.
Go on.
Sheffield United, £360.
Okay.
We're on £360. Do you think Everton is more or less than Sheffield United? Higher or lower? Everton.
More.
You're absolutely right. Everton is £600 nearly.
500, what?
500,
oh.
Say what?
Say 500, what?
Say what? £599. But,
wow.
Gav, go West on. Ham, more or less than Everton?
It's got to be less, surely.
Gav, it's more.
What?
It's more. It's more.
How can it be more?
Because it's Essex, isn't it?
£600.
I'll pay more than that. There's probably people going, is that all? I'll pay more than that. See, you sit there, declare it blue.
How much is it at West Ham?
£700.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
That's twice Brighton. That's worth it, isn't it?
Sit
there, declare it blue. No, do me, my old mum was watching him. She was crying.
She was happy to pay a grand.
And then he stood there going, pay on the grand, it's the West Ham way.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Wow.
Yes, but you imagine how pride they are. Remember a lot of the people from West Ham, they're phenomenally wealthy fans. They've all made their money in decking.
Yeah.
They're in Essex.
Sure.
True, that's true.
Decking, hot tubs.
And West Ham have got a whole new stadium to pay for.
Yeah. Yep, exactly right. Overcharging people for puppies. Seriously, it's a nice little staff there. £15,000.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Essex. Anyway, do you think this is for it, Gav?
No, go on. It's me now.
Oh, sorry. Do you think this is to take it?
Go on, son.
We're at West Ham, but do we think Tottenham more or less expensive than West Ham?
More.
No.
Oh!
West Ham is the most expensive in Britain. I know, I was thinking Tottenham.
Tottenham.
How much is
Luckily,
Tottenham?
I've got the cab and the Rolls Royce hire game for weddings. I earn bundles, didn't I? There you go.
How
so,
much was Tottenham?
£485.
Wow.
So West Ham, top of the shop there.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I'm always interested is in Trump's diet because I just think, how can someone look that bad? No, it's always a real comfort, isn't it? Is that whatever you look at in the mirror, it's not that staring back at you.
What's going on with these trousers?
Don't go. Ever since I bought that suit from his tailor, I just can't stop standing them, looking at my legs, especially if it's a bit windy over the summer. Thinking, have I got that Trump leg?
Trump trowel.
You know, ever since, no, you shouldn't have told me that. I bought this new suit because I had a number of occasions this year, so I decided to get a new suit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot of suits, but I decided to buy a new suit.
Sure.
You know, you got a lot of suits. You tell people. I've outgrown a lot of them because of the muscle growth,
sure,
particularly on the back.
Yeah,
the waist's fine.
You'll
that's
get
actually
that, yeah,
that's actually smaller.
Right,
but it's the
thighs.
Yeah,
you are quite snake hips.
Yeah,
these
I know.
Days.
I'm just getting that. You know, it's quite weird. Anyway, I bought this suit and I was really pleased with it. And Gav said, "Where'd you get the suit?" I said, "Brioni." And he goes, "Oh, that's where Trump gets his suits made from." So I went. But the point is, I went straight to the Kazi in this place. I had a full length mirror on the back of the door, and straight away I was turning, thinking, I got legs like Trump.
Have I got Trump legs?
Have I got Trump legs? So I literally, when I came out, I started walking differently. My legs started tighter together
to
avoid.
You kept doing that pose.
I know, just to stop any wind. Because I just hate to have legs like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, or hair, or a face, or anything.
Or his voice, yeah.
Things, how can anyone not find him funny? I mean,
I know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Serious
how
enough to vote for
him. Seriously?
How can anyone just, you know, not sort of think, Christ.
Is this some kind of
But
act?
Is it all just a laugh?
I know, let's it move. Must be. Oh, yeah.
Vote for Trump again.
He was once asked, "Are you just an act?"
And he said,
"He said I'm a total act, and it blows my mind that no one seems to notice."
Yeah, but it's also a good irony card as well.
That's
it's
true.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like Hasselhoff. Where? How far do you take the joke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And David's case all the way. getting a child to eat vegetables. Through subterfuge is familiar to many parents. Donald Trump's former doctor. This is Ronnie Jackson, the Candyman.
Yeah.
He's revealed that he even tried the technique on the president. Ronnie Jackson, he said he regretted leaving his position on in March 2018 because he was going to help Trump lose 15 pounds.
Oh, okay, right.
We were looking on his diet, he said to the New York Times. We were making the ice cream less accessible.
I'm going to guess he's not a fan of vegetables.
No, he had to hide cauliflower in his mashed potatoes.
Right.
Yeah. Like with kids.
Yeah.
Dr. Jackson also planned to move an exercise bike or cross trainer into the president's house. But he says the exercise stuff never took off as much as I wanted it to.
Right, sure.
But when a doctor's referring to the exercise stuff.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Trump, he has a diet high in meat. He said he's very happy not to have breakfast at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He sometimes skips lunch as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably so excited. But when he doesn't, when he does not, he likes. So I don't quite understand that.
He doesn't skip lunch.
Sorry. And sometimes skips lunch too. When he does not, he likes a well done steak, pizza, or a burger. Okay. Right. Get this bit. This is the key phrase. Yeah. Are you ready? Dinner is President Trump's, quote, big thing.
Okay.
Right.
So he presumably likes to get down, have dinner, everyone together.
Yes.
That's a big thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Get this. So this is, dinner's big for Donald.
Mm-hmm.
He owns lots of great hotels, everything like that. So, you know, you'd think this is going to be a big thing for him. Yeah. He wants all the family to be, all his families to be together. Because remember, Trump also got the dysfunctional family vote.
Right.
All those people who just are really unhappy, bad marriages, thought, why can't we all be more like Trump?
Yeah.
And you just give your ex-wife lots of money.
That's right, yeah.
Corey Lewandowski, his former campaign manager, and this is how serious dinners are, said that a typical dinner came from McDonald's and included two Big Macs, two fish sandwiches, and a chocolate milkshake.
Just for him?
Yep.
Just for him?
He doesn't drink tea, coffee, or alcohol, but loves Diet Coke. But as Gav says, that's a control thing. So there we go. That's what. So he once told an executive training for a triathlon. This is Trump, yeah? He saw an executive training for a triathlon. So he says,
what?
You're going to die young because of this.
Because of this exercise.
Yes, you're going to die young. He told him. How about that? I have to say, though, it's not bad. It's not quite a good order. Two Big Macs, two fillet.
Could you eat all that?
No, I wouldn't mix the fish with the thing.
No.
You don't get surf. One place I shun the surf and turf is McDonald's.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Who will be crowned the 4-7 Thang Rubbish Photographer of the Year? The gallery has been confirmed.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. It's quite exciting. It will be held.
Whoa.
Why can't I say?
Whoa, we need to absolutely.
Well, they haven't signed it yet.
Yeah, we've got to get everything on the dotted line.
Oh, but we know now. It's pretty.
No, we can't say yet.
I know, but saying this is definitely a fault.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can't.
No.
Don't announce your galleries before.
No.
Is there a phrase like that? No. Don't.
Yeah, you never announce your galleries
before the picture's hanged.
That's how it goes, I think.
Is that, is there a phrase? There's other phrases.
Yeah.
That's how it phrase. Yeah. Don't pour a pint without a glass underneath.
Exactly right. You don't push the toaster down till the bread's in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't. 83936. We're reinventing the don't until you don't. The don't until you phrase today. 83936. I said don't pour a pint until. Don't take a penalty until there's a ball there.
Exactly. Till the ball's on the spot.
Yeah. Well, exactly, until you've got a ball.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just kicking midair. Right.
You just keep kicking,
like an idiot.
Yeah, that's no point.
Exactly.
You air guitar, but
air football,
limited. Keep it up. Anyway, so the gallery hasn't quite been confirmed. Don't confirm your galleries. Well, again, until they've actually called you up to say we confirm, I guess.
We're quietly confident.
Number ends 092's got into the game. Don't give birth till you're pregnant.
That's a really good policy.
That's really good. That's really good. It's a really lovely Russian phrase that they use in some parts of Russia. Because I heard some Russians laughing once on holiday.
Yeah.
And I said, what's this greeting you do? And they explained to me, I have recorded it if we want to listen to it later. But translated, it's, how are you today? I haven't had a baby yet.
It's that a Russian phrase.
Yeah, it literally means life because I've only got to think about me. At least I haven't got to think about others.
I haven't had a baby.
Yeah, I haven't had a baby because that's the worst thing in Russia. Bad enough looking after yourself. I haven't had a baby. It also means no one's come at... Some people argue about what it sort of means. Mm. There's that. And some people say, literally, no one's come up to me and said, I'm pregnant.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
it's lots of things. But basically, baby's problem.
Yeah.
That's the basis of that one. Next up, Gav. Phil and Tamworth's got a beauty.
Phil and Tamworth says, don't tie your shoelaces until your feet are in them.
Mm. Oh, that's very good. Yeah. Very, very good. Thank you. That's very, very, very sage. Yeah. What you got there? Simon Littlehampton likes to get involved. What's he getting involved here with, Doctor?
Well, it's got a golf theme.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Don't tee up your ball until you've got your driver in your hand.
Yes, yeah. And also then don't then drive at a ball until there's a ball there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Don't pay the fine till you've been caught. That's really good. That's
very good.
Matt and Rick fitting aircon in London. That's a good name for a film. They've had Con Air. I'm just saying, but yes. Air Con about two investigators who...
Who don't pay their fines.
Two air conditioning guys who
aren't conditioning the air.
Who are doing the air conditioning in a prison where Nick Cage is making a furry rabbit.
Right.
Yeah, and swapping faces with Travolta, maybe.
The Benny Air. No, that's Face Off. Very different film, Gav. They came out at a very similar time and they do involve aeroplanes. I can see exactly why you've confused
them. They really feel similar.
I see exactly why you confuse the two, but they're very different films, Gav. Very different films. Face Air. Yeah. Con Face.
Air Off.
Yeah, right. And Handbrake. Okay, here we go. Here's a good one for you. This is from Tony in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Don't scratch till it itches.
Very nice.
Don't scratch it till it itches, mate.
Very
that
good.
Works. That's really... I'm going to start using that.
You know, especially about people getting too neurotic about stuff,
yeah.
Like on Instagram and things.
Yeah.
You know, particularly when they get so worried. Oh, God, everyone's going to... Look. Just don't scratch till it's itchy.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
really good.
Very good.
Tony from Brum.
Well done.
You the man. Also, this is very good at the end. Oh, very good. Very good. Listen. Oh, gosh, we've got some
Listener
talent.
591.
My God, Listener 591, you've surpassed yourself. Don't announce your textings till you've thought it through. Oh, very good, sir. You never laugh with 591.
Radio X.
I'm afraid... Jersey's had a problem with very unruly feathered gangs.
Wild chickens, are we?
Feral chickens.
Right.
This has set animal lovers very much against the authorities.
Right.
But I'd just like to say, animal lovers, is don't. Chickens wouldn't be around if they weren't food. Remember that. There's no way we'd keep them as pets.
They're not cuddly enough.
They're not cuddly. They just wouldn't be any. They're not a good pet. They wouldn't. They're not.
They're quite clever, though, aren't they?
No.
Are they?
Yeah.
No, I used to look after them on a farm. They're not.
We used to have them when I was a kid.
No, you must have had the bright ones.
Quite easy to hypnotise.
The lot I looked after were pretty stupid.
Right.
Were they?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to draw a line on the ground and get 300 of them to stay there for a whole day.
It's weird, isn't it? I've done that. It's just...
It's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird how they fall
just stay there until you rub the arrow away.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is. I thought my friend was joking.
No, it's absolutely not. Yeah, we did it with 300 of them just to demonstrate it to the farm manager, Mr. Jelfs, who was livid. Luckily, it turns out that the Jack Russell moving at speed will wake them. Anyway, Jack Russell fun. So why did the jogger cross the road?
To get to the other side?
No, it's a joke in Jersey.
Go on. Why did the jogger cross
Play
the
along,
road?
Play along, guys.
I am trying to. Go on.
Why did the jogger cross the road?
I don't know. Why did the jogger cross
the road?
Thank you, Santa, for joining in. Because he's being chased by a gang of 100 feral chickens.
Wow.
Or so goes the joke.
Okay.
Does it?
At least he was before they were killed by marksmen.
Oh.
Brought in to end the nuisance they've been causing, I'm afraid.
Marksmen?
So, yeah. A row has broken out in the large of the Channel Islands. 65 chickens.
Snipers?
Yes. They took them out.
A bit much.
They took them out.
What?
They established a killing box.
A hide.
It's believed they were once pets. But were dumped in the wild after becoming too unruly. And then they've, in the wild, they're now forming gangs up to 100 strong.
Wow.
As
both chickens.
The trouble is, there's no foxes on Jersey.
Ah.
You couldn't get that. That's the thing is, no, they haven't got that.
Right.
They haven't got a natural predator.
No.
Right.
No, so they can become like apex chickens.
Wow.
And that's unusual. Well, this is what happens. This is what happens if you don't keep them oppressed and very much as a food source. They form gangs and become a social problem. We've seen what's happened with gulls at the seaside.
You have to control what they read as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they start developing an organising.
God, I wish we could find out what they were thinking. Police that as well. Some islanders have been complaining to the authorities for years that the birds have been tormenting them by crowing in the middle of the night and chasing joggers off their turf.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They're said to wreck gardens. They're a danger to traffic when they cross the roads. Do you know in the old days of cockfighting, if a cock crows during a fight, that's it, it's lost.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it considered like a white towel being thrown in?
No, I think it's just. I think it's just. It's considered unsporting by the cop.
Wow.
It's like
ungame.
He's like trying to weird the other one out.
Trying to use tactics.
Like, it's like before I punch in the head, going morning.
Yeah. Wow, feral chickens. Can't they just introduce the fox to the island?
Gav, that was my solution, but apparently that's worse.
Oh, really?
That can be worse.
Too many foxes. Yeah.
Too many foxes spoil.
The chickens.
Right. The gang. Yeah. The cull was ordered after complaints they were causing a nuisance at three locations. And residents, yeah? It's quite a pensioner crowd, yeah? They've described what the chickens have been up to, quote, barbaric.
Wow.
What? Barbaric? Chickens?
I'd love to see their wings cut off.
No, but I'll tell you what, a lot of the goings on down here by them chickens have been barbaric.
Absolutely inhuman.
It's barbarism. This includes noise from cockerels crowing from the early hours of each morning, destruction of land, persistent scratching. They're causing problems. Oh. Feral chickens cross the island at a rate of knots. Chickens also due to the rate at which chickens can breed. It was decided to undertake necessary pest control measures using a local pest control company. That's it. Send in the marksman. I got one, Sergeant. Take him down.
Bring your spotter.
This
is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Talkies, ladies and gentlemen, my favourite item. Sometimes we have to give it a rest because I get too excited. The problem has been I tend to talk about Jeff a lot at the
your bulldog
at the top. My bulldog. It's our pet segment. Every show needs one. Say hello and time for talkies. When have you said something weird, stupid, or obvious to your pet? I went looking for mice in my flat with Jeff.
Yeah.
And what's great about Jeff, apart from the fact this is my bulldog, he really is like he's just like a doorman who does nothing. In fact, at all times, it occurred to me the other day that he's like this helper who doesn't help. He just comes along and just looks.
Stands around.
Yeah, like if I've got a meeting with, you know, someone like Plum or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's two of us standing there. I look down and there's Jeff also looking up. No, but you sort of think, you really think you're part of this conversation. It's quite
weird. Almost like have a pipe in his mouth. Yes. Sort of going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, but he looks like later he'll tell friends, of course, you know, they wouldn't listen to me. Of course. No, but the weird thing is I get a sense of him. I had a meeting with a guy who's coming to look to put more plugs in the house. I've overloaded the ones that are there. They're not in the right place.
You need more power.
It's just really annoying.
Sure.
And you can only have a certain amount on different circuits. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
So I stood there, and I'm standing there with the electrician, and I look down at one point, and I go, "What do you think, Jeff?" And the thing is, the guy's a dog owner. He looked at me and goes, "I don't think he likes it." And it's weird how you get other dog owners. You just start going, "Goes, I don't know. I think he does like the idea of more power." And I suddenly realised that we're both using him as our go with him. Well, I think he does, but I think what he's probably staggered about is the amazingly low prices. Well, I bet he would think that there's certainly a 10% we can have off. Anyway, but I did say, what do you think, Jeff? And then you get that pause, and then afterwards, professional goes, he doesn't like it.
No, he doesn't. He's not into it.
I love it. No, he doesn't. He's not into it. I think he's thinking sod that, John. But what I like is all the time you look at Jeff.
Yeah.
And I go, what do you think, Jeff? During these high level meetings I have.
Yeah.
And Jeff looks away. He just sort of looks away like,
I
feel like just kicking his ass and just going, Jeff, I don't really take you seriously, mate. I'm just including you to be polite. Don't start giving it the...
He's above it all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, ever since we had our Brexit debate in the House...
You and Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting. He has a Union Jack rug.
Yeah.
Which I've had for years. Uh-huh. And he was sitting, and for some reason he bunched it up in the corner of the room. This is before Brexit.
Right.
And I said, what do you think the answer is, Jeff?
Yeah.
And he walked right over to the other side of the room, sat on his Union Jack rug and just stared at me. And I thinking, yeah, that's about bloody right, that is.
Leave means leave,
John. No, he just looked so narrow-minded. He just looked so narrow-minded and stupid. I ignored him for a couple of days after that. Because he hasn't got a pet passport, so he doesn't care, does he?
Exactly, what I said to him. Yeah.
It was not going to affect you anyway, is it? Yeah. Yeah, small-minded little Englander.
Yeah.
Anyway, when have you said something weird, stupid or obvious to your pet? When was the last time you had to sit down and have serious words with them? I've had serious words with Jeff. He remains a Brexiteer.
Yeah.
He really does. He doesn't want to stay at all. Last time we did this, Dan in Romford had to tell his cats to man up. Because they kept letting a stray wander in and help itself to their
biscuits. I love that one.
They got a man up. More recently, Ian emailed to ask whether I've ever pretended to be dead to see what my dog would actually do. I have done, yes.
Have you?
Yeah, everyone does that. You suddenly go like that, and the dog... Jeff starts... He tries to get just under your arm to sort of lift it up.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how he measures it, because there's no...
Okay, yeah.
The first thing about it is no one's now scratching his back.
Right.
So that's the first sign of death.
That's his first panic.
But yeah. all I just suddenly imagine is, all I can imagine is someone coming into my house with me dead.
Yeah.
And they look up and there's Jeff with his bloodied muzzle looking up guiltily from my stomach.
Yeah. What was I supposed to do?
He won't open himself, you know. Anyway... So I haven't taken that one too far. Put it this way, it's about 3 minutes before he starts trying to eat me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how long he'll wait. Yeah. Gav, what do you got?
Claire in Bishop Stortford says, on Saturday, my husband caught me trying to educate my tropical fish.
Nice.
I have guppies and red swordtails. He walked in on me saying, guys, Ant is on the left and Deck is on the right.
Oh, my God, you are kidding me. That's amazing. Thank you, Claire and Bishop Stortford.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks, Claire. It's a beauty. What you got there, Dr. Stimbleton?
Griff in Winsford says, whilst bathing his dog, my brother-in-law, John, was overheard saying, now close your eyes, otherwise you're going to get soap in them.
Nice. They understand. They appreciate that one. This is Hannah on Twitter. Thank you so much, Hannah. This really, really made me smile. I heard my mum telling my dog that she will cancel his birthday party on Thursday if he keeps misbehaving. It's unbelievable. Can I just say, it's okay. Look at the pitch on the back.
This is the actual
It turns out all was forgiven. He's called Oscar. He was three. He's got a cake.
Oh, he's got presents. He's got cards. He's got everything.
It's still, do you know what? It's still, with my last bulldog, Harvey,
You're spoiling Oscar, I think.
It's still one of the most sad things I've ever seen a bulldog do. Was when my daughter was, I don't know, about one. She was getting all her toys out to show us.
Yeah. Yeah,
her favourite toys. It was me and a few relatives gathered.
Yeah,
about, yeah. And Harvey, my last bulldog, he started going off to his cupboard, and he came back with three of his toys in succession.
No,
because we were getting our toys out, and
but
it's the only time I've seen a dog do something that you can see. He's really understood the level at which he's going on. Tabitha was wandering off, getting her things, placing them down in
front
of us.
Simple as that, yeah.
And then toddling off again. At that age when, you know, kids just, every step is like that could be the last. They could just fall.
Yes,
that one that's just like, they're not walking, they're sort of pre-falling.
They are, yes.
But she's doing that, and then Harvey's just coming, put it down, and he's looked at us.
Yeah.
I tell you, ended up getting more attention that day. and it wasn't the human. Radio X. That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now and you'll get the 4-7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. Please keep those reviews coming in on iTunes, and if you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk or turn up to the Global Building and mill about. Radio X.